Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 1. And I'm just going to be led. This is a scripture that's playing on in my spirit. And we will also, there's another verse here. We're going to get to that next over there in the Gospel of John. But of course, I can turn my notes off now. You know, we used to just close the notebook or whatever, but now our notebooks have batteries. Listen, just because we're going a different direction, you're not going to get quiet and unresponsive this morning, are you? Oh, no, because this is what we want to hear. How many of you remember what Jesus said to the churches in Revelation chapter 2, verse 29? He says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Right? We don't come to church just to hear a preacher and his ideas. You know, for those of you that are visiting, again, we welcome you here today. We love the summer because we get, we have a lot of our regular families travel and whatever, and there's a lot going on in the summer, but it is also a time where we get the most visitors during the year, and we welcome visitors. We just love to have you, and even when the service, you know, goes a different direction, we don't shy or hold back from that. You know, who are we to say what will win the harvest and what will not? How many of you know that it's important that the Holy Spirit runs our churches and not just, you know, the administrative side of a man or a group of leaders or whatever? The Holy Ghost is always preeminent here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we prize that. We love it. You know, glory to God. Go to Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to read the first three verses here. Verse 3 is what I want to focus on. But it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Isn't that amazing? Here we are at the beginning of the largest praise and worship book in the world, the book of Psalms. You know, it's basically, the word psalm means a song. Right? These weren't just something that was read. These were songs that were sung, right? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And here we have the largest book in the Bible, and the first words of this entire book is, don't listen to the wrong people. Don't listen to the wrong people. Don't take counsel from ungodly people. Listen, there's a lot of ungodly counsel out there that you can find. You know, you can find it on the news, you can find it on the radio, you can find it amongst relatives, you can find it amongst coworkers. You can, you know, listen, people that aren't serving God do not have a voice into my life. Why? Because you're going to see here in just a moment that whatever God wants to give you must be maintained through hearing the right things. Yes. And the counsel of the ungodly is coming to steal from you.
Yeah. Good word.
That is absolutely right. People that are not living for God and they're giving you counsel or advice that you might take, I'll tell you what, that counsel, though we're not calling them bad people, you know, but if they have ignorance, you know, I'm telling you, the devil is going to try any means necessary to promote ignorance in your life. We've been talking about that over the last several services, right? Pastor Brad, you know, he quoted it earlier, something that we've been saying around here. Coming to church, this is the place where ignorance comes to die, right? But there's a lot of folks out there that don't know better. They might have all the good intentions in the world. We're not trying to promote the idea that we're better than them or anything like that, right? But we understand that if they're giving us counsel and we're following it, it can steal from us. Yeah. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, they can be nice, but if they're not following God, they don't have a voice into my life.
That's right. Amen.
They can be educated. Doesn't mean they have a voice into my life. They could be, you know, and praise God for godly doctors and psychologists and things like that. But I mean, I don't care what degree they have. I don't care what field or profession they're in. If their heart isn't submitted to God's word, then they don't have anything for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Meaning counsel that I would obey. Of course, now, if a medical doctor tells you something, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, following their expertise. But as long as it confirms or you are at peace with it in your heart. All right, amen. But this is talking about advice that you would follow to live your life, okay? Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice you're blessed for guarding who you allow to speak into your life. You are blessed. All right, remember that. Blessed. You know, the Amplified, I have it right here. It says, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purpose. You know, there's always somebody in your life, you know, who's not following God that thinks that they know best for you. No, but you will be blessed, fortunate, and prosperous. Listen, do you understand that people who aren't following God, they're trying to speak into your life? The devil's going to try to use their words to steal your prosperity. Your prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. Oh, come on now. Those of you that came forward today, those of you that just simply said, I believe, I receive. Listen, that is something that God has given to you by His grace. And I'll guarantee you this week or even today, as soon as you walk out of this place, there is going to be somebody that comes into your path or some word somewhere, maybe even in the thoughts of your mind, that are going to try to steal what God did for you today. Yeah, listen, if not even from the mouth of somebody literally physically talking to you, then sometimes even in the thoughts of your head, did I really receive that today? Is God really doing anything in my body? I better check and see if the pain has gone away, because I need to test and see whether it's true. Listen, listen, a symptom does not tell you whether you can believe it's true or not. Amen. You are going to have to believe and put faith even above circumstances or a physical feeling, right? Blessed and fortunate and prosperous and enviable is the man who walks and lives, right? Not in the counsel of the ungodly, which can even come from the thoughts of your own mind. Come on now. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, enviable. Just think, the world looks at us and envies when we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, they look at you and says, there's somebody that's not led by all the opinions around them. The book of Proverbs says that the fear of man or the fear of man's opinion is a snare and a trap.
That's right.
Some people say, oh, I can't believe you go to a church like that. They call people up and lay hands and even some of them fall over and all that stuff. You've heard that stuff before. What is that? That is the words, that is the counsel of the ungodly coming to try to steal what you've received.
Right.
Don't do that, because you're blessed, fortunate, prosperous. Yeah, enviable when you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Yeah. So the first thing we do as God's people, as we don't listen to the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. What that means literally is that we don't live like sinners live. Oh, yeah. Yep. Now, the Amplified says, nor stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. Yeah. Yeah, meaning we don't go and live like they live.
Right.
See, this is why so many of God's people are forfeiting their blessings. Listen, when you receive the grace of God, when God moves on your behalf, that is a call to walk in a higher standard. Because living like the unbelieving world can and will cause you to let go of what you received. I have seen so many people that have received, you know, God's healing power, and they would testify of things in their body that disappeared, and doctors have even confirmed it and whatever, but then they go and they live like unbelievers live, and then they lose it. And they wonder, oh, what happened? Where'd God go? Why did God do this to me? No, that it's not God's fault. We put ourselves in the way. We put ourselves in the wrong way. Come on now. So when we receive this, if you want to hold on to what God has given you, there is a challenge to our lifestyle. Oh, praise the Lord. I know there's a responsibility warning. Warning, commitment, dedication coming. All right? So don't listen to the wrong people. Don't live like sinners live. Now look at the rest of the verse. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Wow. Yeah. Or it says to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Oh my goodness. This is talking about those that mock and complain. You want to know where the blessing of God is lost? It is lost in your complaint.
Good word. Come on, Pastor.
I'm trying to teach you how to hold on to what God has already given you. You might say, well, I didn't come forward today, so I didn't get anything today. Oh, no, wrong thinking. The Bible says over there, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who bear our, speaking of Jesus, he bear our own sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. You weren't healed when your body felt better. You were healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose again from the dead. That's when healing was given to you. So whether you came forward or not, if you are a believer, healing is something that belongs to you as a child of God. And so the way we talk, the way, you know, if you mock or criticize, criticism and complaint is an enemy to the healing power of God. Oh, come on. We're all convicted right now. You can probably think of a bunch of people that in your recent life that you've criticized or complained about somewhere along the line. If not people, then maybe your company or your employer or something that you own. You know, I'll tell you what, you are never going to, God is never going to promote you into more until you are grateful for what you have now. You will never move into more of God and more of his provision until you are grateful and that you thank him for what you have now. Praise the Lord. My car is a piece of trash, and I don't know why, you know, I have to deal with this. I'm asking God to help me get another one and all this. Well, are you thanking the Lord for the one that you have now? Come on now. Oh, we need a house that I don't understand. We're just fed up and sick and tired. Those words should never come out of the mouth of a believer. Say, well, it's just a figure of speech. Yeah, well, figures of speech can hurt you. Well, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. No, you better not talk that way. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you will have whatsoever you say. All right? And so people say that. What are they doing? They're mocking, they're complaining. And what are they doing? They're putting the blessing of God in their life at risk. They're risking it for walking in the counsel of the ungodly, for living like sinners live, and complaining and mocking. Why do they gotta play that music so loud? Why do they gotta fall over? Have you ever been there before? I guess none of you have. I guess only me. I guess I've never dealt with mocking or critical thoughts. Listen, I will tell you right now that I am very tempted that way on a daily basis to be very critical. I'm very particular. I want things this way. You know, that's what leadership does. Leadership is very, you know, set in their ways and sometimes, and it's very easy for leadership to get, you know, critical or whatever. And I deal with those thoughts all the time. All the time. I know you don't because you're the holiest church on the face of planet Earth here. But those thoughts, if you give voice to them, are coming to steal from you. Don't let complaint and criticism. Listen, there's always going to be someone somewhere doing something you don't like. And it's probably going to be right in front of your face. The devil's going to make sure to give you an opportunity to criticize or complain about somebody. No doubt you work with somebody that gets on your last nerve. No doubt you deal with somebody that you just don't like their attitude or the way they carry themselves or what they do or who they're with or all this stuff. I'll tell you what, you better become like spiritual Teflon. and let that stuff slip right off your back, because it's coming to steal from you. It's coming to steal from you. Yep. All right. So verse 2. So it says, now I'm trying to get to the point here. In verse 2, he says, but his delight, see, we're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, living like sinners, or mocking and complaining, but our delight is in the law of the Lord. Or you could say it this way, the word of the Lord. All right, same difference. But our delight is not the counsel of what the wicked are saying. I don't care with what the radio psychologist is saying this week. I don't care what the tabloids are saying. Come on. I don't care what the magazine article said or the YouTube video. Come on now. If they don't know God, they don't have a voice into my life. Right? Yeah, but my delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word does he meditate day and night, or meaning to think to yourself according to the word.
Amen.
Think to yourself. That's what the word meditate means, to think to yourself. Hallelujah. Yep, look at in the Amplified it says, but his delight and his desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Hallelujah. See, you know, our delight is in God's word, not criticizing what someone else did to you or said about you. As long as there is flesh on this earth and a devil to tempt it, people are always going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing to you, do something you disagree with. You better learn to let it go. Listen, you better learn to be low maintenance, high output.
Amen.
That is my desire. Low maintenance.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, and I'll tell you what, if you're going to be in ministry at all, you better learn to be low maintenance, because people say and do things and write you letters and emails and call you rotten names and say all this stuff all the time. You know? Yeah, you better learn to not let it bother you, whatever profession you're in. Yeah, come on now. Don't let, you know, a lot of people, their number one attacker in their life is their own thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
You're just so hard on yourself no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
You are so down on yourself all the time. Don't raise your hand, but I know that many of you, myself included, go through that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Where you, the most critical attack you ever face is from yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with keeping yourself to a high standard. But self-condemnation is wrong.
Yeah, good, Pastor. Come on.
Condemning yourself is just as much a sin as condemning someone else.
Good word, Pastor.
Good word.
Condemning yourself will rob the blessing of God as quickly as condemning somebody else.
Come on.
Yep. Maybe you don't attack others, but maybe you attack yourself. And it's just as wrong. You know, you better learn to forgive yourself. You had better learn, to cast down those thoughts of why you're never enough.
Yes, right.
Listen, you never are.
Yeah, right, good.
I never am.
Right, come on.
You never are enough, but that's just the good news of the gospel, is I don't need to be enough. Jesus is enough on my behalf.
Good.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But our delight is in the word of God, and in his word we meditate day and night. And now verse 3 is what I'm trying to get to. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why? Because we're blessed for not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We're not living like sinners live. We're not scorning and mocking, but we are feeding on the word of God. Now we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. Notice this. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall
prosper.
Thank you for being so enthusiastic today. I tell you what, you're about shouting me right out of this sanctuary. Whatsoever he does shall
prosper.
Glory to God. But notice this. Notice it says, his leaf also shall not wither. for a leaf to wither, it must be vibrant and healthy at some point.
Yes.
Notice this is not written from some written to somebody who was already withered and coming back to life. This is written to those who were once, you know, walking in the blessing of God, where the vibrance and the vitality of God was already visible in this person.
Yes.
Your leaf shall not wither. Or you could say it this way, you shall not let go of what God has given to you. But the miracle of God will be sustained and maintained in your life.
Right.
Come on now. You know, sometimes people, they just, you know, they sit through a church service like they do through a movie. Just watching the show, waiting for their time to come to, you know, when the lights go up and the credits start scrolling the screen and it's time to leave, gather your stuff up and file out. Well, I'll tell you what, you better lose that mentality in a hurry. Because it's not just the fact that you're here that God's impressed with. It's not the fact that you're here, it's how you're here. And Jesus said, take heed by what measure that you hear, because of what measure you hear shall be measured back unto you. He says, take heed by what measure you hear. You know, how important it is to you while you're hearing. I'll tell you what, you dig in. You can dig in. Hallelujah. You'll be like a tree planted by a water source. See, trees that have a constant water source don't wither up and die. They don't lose that vibrance and vitality. Right? Notice, he shall be like a tree planted. Planted. I love that word. You know, you could go back here. What is it? Psalm 93, 12, 92, 13. I have some numbers there that I gotta flip around there. But it says, blessed, what does it say over there? Though they that dwell, those that are planted in the house of our God shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. They shall flourish. Those that are planted.
That
are planted.
Yes.
Let's go over there. I wasn't planning on teaching that. You can obviously tell. It's Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that are planted. Oh my goodness. Are you ready for a Holy Ghost soapbox? Because I feel one brewing. That's right. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. And then Psalm 1 says, they that be, right, those that are planted, they'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When you're planted somewhere, you're not easily moved. A tree is something that is planted. It grows roots and it grows them deep. And its stability and its health is completely dependent upon how deep its roots go, how established it is in that place. See, what's the difference between a tree and a weed? Trees live for hundreds of years. Weeds come and go. Why? Because of the root system. You know, God called us to be oak trees, you know, maple trees, or, you know, whatever our strongest hardwood trees are around here. You know that when you look at a tree, there is more root system below. There is more tree below the ground a lot of times. Not all the species are like that. But a lot of these great trees, they have a bigger root system. They have a bigger root system than they do what's growing up above the ground. You know what I mean? And, you know, I was out there. You've heard me tell these stories, but I'm going to tell them again. When I was in California, I saw the largest tree in the world. It's called the Sherman tree. It is a sequoia. It has an internal volume of like 52,000 square feet. Internal volume. Its biggest branch is 7 feet thick. A branch. We don't have a tree in the city of Jamestown that is 7 foot thick. All right? The main trunk at the bottom of that tree, if you were to walk around the circumference, is 104 feet. All right, to give you an idea, that is from this back wall all the way to the front steps of our church. That's if you walked around the distance. If you walked right through the tree, it's somewhere around 40 feet thick. 40 feet thick. That is about the distance from me to that wall. That is how thick that tree is, and 104 feet around. Imagine that. I mean, when I saw it literally for the first time, I gasped.
Yeah.
And then they had a little plaque there, you know, talking about it. It was 2,700 years old. Yeah. And I loved, I mean, I was just reading this description. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a sermon right here.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of these verses. And it was talking about the root system, but a couple things before we get to that. They talked about how, you know, that area, you know, California, is very prone to wildfires. And when we were driving through that park, you would see a lot of sequoia trees. I mean, they had scars on them. They had big burnt out spots. They'd have black ashes. And it almost looked like, you know, it happened last year or something. And then you'd find out, well, that happened 200 years ago. And they still bear the marks of past forest fires and whatnot. And you think, oh my goodness, you know, these great trees, we better be careful because that heat and those fires will destroy these things for good and everything. And then I started reading this plaque, and it started saying that sequoias need fire. They need fire. And the reason why the Sherman tree got so large is because the sequoias, first of all, when they get to a certain size, they can withstand heat. They don't just burn up. They'll get scarred, and maybe their bark will burn a little bit, but they themselves mostly will survive it if they've grown up properly. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? But I started reading, and you know the sequoia is like, it is in the pine family. Aren't you so glad that you have a nerd for a pastor? Yes. Yeah, I love this kind of stuff. I soak it in. I like to read, you know. People are reading novels. I'd rather read like an encyclopedia.
Yeah,
right. I really would. I get more interested in learning history and stuff like that. But anyway, the fire of these forest fires is good for the sequoia in a couple of ways. First of all, they have cones, or what we would call like a pine cone. They're in the pine tree family. And when those pine cones will only release seeds in heat. It takes heat, either extremely hot temperatures, or in the case of a forest fire, actually more seeds get released and not destroyed from these forest fires, okay? And then the second thing what happens, why the Sherman tree got so big, is that when parts of the trees or other smaller trees burn, and their ashes actually fertilize the ground. Yeah. And so those trees, they flourish in fire. I love that. I'm thinking, he shall be like a tree with roots that run so deep that fire doesn't kill them, fire causes them to grow higher. I'm thinking, that is exactly who we are. That is why what being born again is, with the life of God on the inside of us, with the world without Christ, trials and troubles push them lower. But with Christ on the inside, trials push us higher. Hallelujah, glory to God. Yeah, praise the Lord. And the thing about the root system on that Sherman tree, that they showed like a diagram, and here that thing is 275 feet tall. It's not the tallest tree in the world, but it's the largest internal volume. And here it is, 275 feet tall. I mean, that's twice as tall and plus some than any building in Jamestown, okay? And it's huge. Do you realize 50,000 square feet? Do you realize that that is more than 2.5 of these buildings that you're sitting in right now that is inside that tree? That's incredible. And they had a diagram of the root system, and the root system went out so far. I mean, you couldn't even see underground, but they were showing you how many feet away. That thing was so planted, its roots were so big, that was the stability of that tree. Come on. And we live in a day when Christians have become more like tumbleweeds than they have like hardwood trees. Planted in the house of our God. Not tumbling through, Come on, are you ready? You know, I mean, I understand that there's summer and there's nothing wrong with taking vacations. You understand. You know, if you take a vacation and miss a Sunday or so, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this kind of convenient belief system that exists in American Christianity today that says almost like, or at least implies, that church is some kind of take it or leave it activity for Christianity. Church is not something you take or leave. It is something that you plant yourself into because the blessings of God are dependent upon it.
Amen.
Good. Oh, boy. See, if you're sitting here and you're convicted, just smile and lift your hand and say, praise the Lord. That's right, Pastor Tim. And no one will ever know the difference with you. Just get happy if you're getting corrected. Well, praise God. Well, Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of God shall flourish. See, there's a condition with that verse. Not everyone is going to flourish in God. Not every believer is going to flourish in God because not every believer is planted. Planted will lead to flourishing. There's so many of you that have been here, and of course it's not just this church, anywhere where the Word of God is taught. You understand that it's no, there's nothing, you know, unique to Family Church in just because we're, you know what I mean? Our name doesn't do anything. You know, it's the Word that produces the fruit. You know what I mean? And if you sow the Word is going to cause you to grow. But I'll tell you what, if you're not planted, you know, then you can't claim to flourish. You will only flourish to the degree that you are planted. If Sunday in the summer can come around, I mean, what a beautiful day is out there right now. You know, it's just gorgeous out there. I mean, it's like 78 degrees, sunny, light humid. I don't know, maybe it's more humid than I think. I don't know. I see a little wind blowing out there in the trees. You know, it'd be a good day at the lake, maybe for the golf course for some of you, not me. You know, maybe a good boating day, maybe a good picnic day, barbecue day, you know, yeah. Landscaping day, catch up on the yard work day, all these things that could very easily come in and tempt you not to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, if you cannot come to church because you think it's a good day to mow your yard, you're not planted very deep. You are a tumbleweed, not an oak tree. If I'll tell you what, are you ready? Are you ready? I told you the soapbox was coming. I know because, you know, I haven't been around that long, you know, pastoring. This is my 10th year, just long enough to maybe see some things. But this community, just talking to people outside our community, this community, the city of Jamestown, is widely known for its church hoppers. Church hoppers. What's the new latest and greatest? What's the new thing going on? You know, this community has really struggled. You know, all the people run here, and then they run there. Oh, and they go here, they go there. I refuse to have Family Church be the next great thing going on. You know what I mean? This is not we're not here to be trendy. We're not here to be popular. Praise God, we're here to grow, but we're going to grow according to God's Word. We're not here to try to have gimmicks. Guess what? You will never see a gimmick at this church. You're not going to see a concert. You're not going to see laser lights. You're not going to see smoke machines. You want the dog and pony show? Go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is not a dog and pony show kind of church. This is a Word and Spirit church. This is where the Word is going to change your life. The miracles of God are going to take place. Amen. And it's because we keep the first things first. You know, the main thing is to keep the main thing, right? Some old-timer preacher came in. I was in a hotel in California, and I didn't even know his name. And he was standing at the front desk, and he turns. He's like, "You a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, actually, I pastor in Jamestown, New York." And he said, "Just remember, remember the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing." And then he walked away. I never saw him again the rest of my life. I was like, yes, sir. That's absolutely right. You know, we're not going to give away Buffalo Bills tickets. That wouldn't be a blessing anyway. That's a Maybe we could do that to punish somebody. Church discipline, congratulations, go to a Bills game. You know, if you're visiting, I have a love-hate thing with the Buffalo Bills. I grew up on the Buffalo Bills. I love them, but because I love them so much, I hate them. Because they have stunk for so long. I'm like the disgruntled divorcee with the Buffalo Bills. When they lose, I kind of like, good. You deserve it. 15 years without a playoff appearance, good. Let's go another 15. So anyway, you know, our job here is to be planted. You know what I mean? A lot of places, they can grow a quick flash in the plant, a flash in the pan. You know what I mean? You can all of a sudden come on and get a lot of people, and then, you know, people shuffling around in this community being church hoppers. No! That's why they're hurting. That's why they're not prospering. That's not why, I mean, they could come and receive a miracle of God in the house of the Lord, whether here or somewhere else, but if they just keep doing the church shuffle, 1 Corinthians 12:18, right? For what does the Bible say? For he sets the members in the body of Christ as it pleases him. There's nothing wrong. Listen, there's a right way and a wrong way to leave a church. The right way is when they are no longer feeding you the word. God never called you to starve without spiritual food. Listen, if your church goes the seeker-sensitive way, if this church goes the seeker-sensitive way, if we start giving out TVs to get you to sit in church, I'll tell you what, go to another church. If we stop preaching directly, why do we have this huge screen with these scriptures up here? To see the word of God. Yeah, it says, do not let them depart. The word of God says, don't let the word depart from your eyes. Always, always the word first, right? If this church gets seeker-sensitive and we stop preaching the word, leave. Listen, we're seeing a lot, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of churches in our age close their doors. Well, the reason why they're closing their doors is because somewhere along the way, they walked away from this. There's no way you can sow the word and not have it work.
Yeah, good. That's right.
And what happened is that people weren't planted the way they should.
Yeah, sure.
Planted. So if you're not planted, don't claim verse 13 and say, I'm going to flourish.
Right.
Yeah, tumbleweeds don't flourish. I've never seen a tumbleweed grow as tall as an oak tree. I've never seen weeds do as well in a windstorm as a living oak tree. Their leaves might shuffle around a little, but they don't go anywhere. The weeds are blowing around in life, just whipping and back and forth. That's how so many lives look for believers today, because they're not planted in the house of God where God called them to be. Now you say, well, Pastor, we're looking for a church and we don't know that yet. Well, yeah, then that's fine. That's fine. But when you found a place that, one, God speaks to your heart to be there, and you know that the word is being taught in an uncompromised fashion, then that's the place for you.
Yeah.
And then grow roots. And if there's integrity in the leadership, if there's honesty in the leadership, grow your roots deep.
Amen.
Amen. So go back to Psalm 1, those that be planted in the house of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, why do people wither in this life? Because they're not planted. Why do believers, they receive a great a touch from God, they receive the miraculous, and then over time, it starts to wither away. Because just like in Psalm 1:3, you can be vibrant and full of life, but give enough time if you aren't connected right. Yeah, if you're not connected right, you'll wither. Listen, I'm teaching you how to hold on and keep the blessing of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's read Psalm 1:3 again. And he shall be like a tree, not like a weed, not like a shrub, not like a bush, not like a blade of grass, not a corn stalk, you know? Yeah, you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that never dry up. That never dry up. See, when you're planted correctly, I'm telling you, I mean, your health isn't going to dry up. It might be tested, but it's not going to dry up. Yeah, amen. Your health might be tested, it's not going to dry up. Your finances might be tested, but it's not going to dry up. Come on now. You know, your mental health might be tested, but it's not going to dry up. Listen, you might be right in the middle of the heat of a trial, and you can look at it one of two ways. Either that thing is bringing you down or it's pushing you higher. You just go ahead, be that sequoia tree. Well, just a time just to release my faith even more. Yeah, I'm just going to grow even higher. I'm like a tree planted by waters. Listen, are you born again?
Yes.
Are you planted in a local church?
Yes.
Then you can say, I'm going to flourish and I'm not drying up. Because
right.
God said I wouldn't dry up.
Right.
He didn't say I wouldn't be tested,
right. But
he said I wouldn't dry up.
Wouldn't dry.
That season, see, the devil is talking to you right now that what you're going through is going to win and it's going to dry you up. No, it won't. No, it won't. It can feel like that at times. It might even look like that at times. But listen, this is what faith says. Listen, I'm doing what the word says. I'm planted.
That's right.
Therefore, I flourish,
yes.
And I never wither.
That's right. Amen.
I refuse to wither.
That's right. Amen.
Are you getting something out of this?
Yes.
He'll be like a tree, strong,
yes.
Immovable, planted. You know, soaking up the power of God, planted by a river. And listen, if you're planted in the river of God, I'm telling you, it's not going to dry up. And notice this, you bring forth fruit. Listen, people that aren't planted, how many of you have ever eaten an apple off a tumbleweed? Tumbleweeds don't feed anybody. And a lot of Christians are like tumbleweeds. You never pick a pear, an orange, or an apple off weeds.
No, you don't.
You don't. Right? You know, there are some weeds that actually will produce a pretty flower for a short time. I mean, let's see, I don't know how pretty they are. And again, I'm not a botanist or something. Dandelions. When I was a kid, I used to love the smell of dandelions. I'd find a dandelion, I think it was a good day. But the thing is, how long does a flower on a dandelion last? A couple of days. And then what does it do? It turns into this white, fluffy, ugly thing. And a little bit of breeze throws those weeds over all your yard. I now have my yard treated. I don't have one of them in my yard. Yeah. Because all they do is reproduce more harm. And that's right. You'll never eat fruit off a weed. But you will eat fruit off trees.
Yes.
See, the reason why you had an entrance into life with God is somewhere along the way you met someone who was a tree planted by the rivers of water who bore fruit.
That's right.
And you were basically fruit on their branch.
Sure.
Oh, I know. See, we're Americans. We just think we can do everything on our own, right? Nope, you don't. You got into this relationship with God through somebody else.
Yeah.
Right now, I challenge all of you who are born again and know Jesus, think of the individuals who got you connected to God.
Right.
Instantly. I mean, I can just start thinking of three or four names. Boom, 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 boom. Yep. And every single one of them were trees planted.
Yes.
See, they weren't weeds. They had fruit that I partook of
right. In
their life. Yeah. Come on now. Listen, weeds don't bring anyone to heaven with them. Weeds don't feed anybody. Weeds aren't a blessing to anybody. They make you go spend money just getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. What do you want to be? A tree planted that brings forth fruit and never withers? And everything you do will prosper while you're planted.
That's right.
How voluntary does church sound now? Can you take it or leave it now? See, because you think of it as, well, it's church. It's a routine and a tradition and blah, 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 blah. God doesn't say, oh, it's church. He says, it's my house. He says, it is my soil. It is my garden. And this is where I plant you. This is where I water you. This is where I cause fruit to grow. This is where I prosper you. This is where I flourish you and your family. And so this is how you hold on.
Yes.
You go out and live like the world lives. If you go out and continue to live in ignorance, I don't care if you receive the biggest miracle today. It'll be lost. It will not be maintained. It will wither. It will wither. Yep. Praise the Lord. He shall be like a tree, strong, stable, planted, well-rooted by the rivers of water that never dry up. They bring forth fruit. You feed people around you. People look at you and say, I want what they have.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have asked me, Pastor, what's the greatest mode of evangelism? You know, praise God, you know, and we've done all this too at the church. You know, we do, you know, picnics or outreaches, and we do events at our, you know, at the Regilinae, and we do this and we've done that, we do this, we do that. And we've done a lot of those things. You know, we do, you know, we've done vacation Bible schools, we've done things with kids, you know, you do this. I mean, there's so many extracurricular activities that a church can do. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. And I'm not saying that somewhere along the line people haven't been helped by those things. But at the end of the day, the evangelism that is going to produce the longest lasting fruit is the personal evangelism in your life.
Yes. Amen.
You know, a church can go out and hold concerts. We've done it. How much long-lasting fruit have we gotten from that? Next to none. I mean, very little. I'm not saying zero, but I mean pretty small. The greatest method that God designed for us to win souls is that the people that are sitting or planted in the local house of God, they are bringing forth fruit, and they are they have something that the world wants,
yes,
and that they go out and they share it.
Listen,
it should be every single one of our goal that in the next year, if we just plant, what if half of us made it our absolute goal that in this next year that we would have one person that we helped plant in the house of God? You imagine? Think of it this way. I mean, not just, not in terms of numbers, but what would that look like in the community? You can go out and do all the social work you want. You can, you know, give out food. You can do food pantries. You can do all that. That's all fine and good. We've done it. Guess how much fruit it produces? About none. Because you can decide to be one of two things as a church. Either you're going to feed someone for a day or you're going to feed them for life. How many times I get invited, Pastor, we want you to come to our symposium on poverty. I don't want to go to a symposium on poverty. Because a symposium is not the cure. The gospel is the cure. Well, we got to have a symposium and we got to look at all this psychological research behind poverty. No, that's what keeps people poor. How many stories as I look out on this congregation, how many people that were brought up out of poverty because they got into the Word, they flourished like a tree planted by the rivers of water, they got into the house of God and they flourished there. If we can't pull people out of poverty and into the house of God, there's no hope. And until the Word gets in their ear and gets into their heart and they get established in the house of God, that's the cure for poverty. That's the cure for an economy.
Yes.
Imagine what this community would look like if we all brought one individual in this next year and helped them get planted in the house of God.
Yes.
It would be like a wildfire, wouldn't
yes.
it? In a good way.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Think about how many people have tumbleweed through these doors. I mean, just like many churches in this community, a lot of people just tumbleweeding around. You know, I'm going to share a statistic with you. I think it's extremely interesting that since this church opened on this property in 2005, we have had about 4,500 different individuals come through these doors. And yet our church retains about 10% of that number. Yep, a lot of people just tumbling around. Of course, we don't expect everyone to stay. You know, there's other churches that God has called them to or whatever. You understand that. But I mean, many of them were just tumbleweeding around, tumbleweeding around, tumbleweeding around. What if they all got planted?
Yes.
What would so let's say about 4,000 individuals out tumbleweeding around, you know, maybe a certain percentage of them got hooked up somewhere else. But think of the fact that there's thousands of people in our community tumbleweeding around. What if they all started getting planted in our local churches? Yeah. What if they got planted? And it doesn't, I mean, other good Bible teaching churches. What if they got planted there? What would it do to our community? It would transform it. Because the greatest method of church growth and evangelism is you getting to know people, you getting to love people, and you loving them enough to give to them and tell them what it is to be saved and bringing them to the house of God. Salvation apart from being planted is not God's plan. God isn't looking for converts. He's looking for church plants. Come on now. Praise the Lord. And we'll end here. Go to John. Getting something out of this? So you're like, oh my goodness. Pastor preached right into my wheelhouse today. Yep, listen. Can I just tell you something? And I don't want this to be misunderstood. Growing up, I had a church experience, and I'm very grateful for it. But, you know, I'm just going to be honest. There was some tumbleweeding around in there. And I know what it's like to be the tumbleweed, and I know what it's like to be the tree. Yes. It's a lot better to be the tree.
Amen.
Tumbleweeding around is nothing but hurt. It's not maybe it'll hurt you. It will hurt you. It will hurt you. Say, well, Pastor, you're just trying to get people in your church. Yeah, you're right. What do you think I'm trying to do? Keep them out of my church? You're just saying that to scare people into your church. Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody. And if you think for a second that I've told you something that isn't just, you know, right out of the pages of the Bible, I mean, we put it right in front of you. I don't know how else to say it. And of course, the decision's up to you. I'm not going to come and nag you to do whatever. And if not this church, then go find another Bible teaching church. It's not just a family church idea. It's the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Planted. You know, and it's not just planted in going to church. It's planted in meditating in the Word. Planted in prayer. Planted in serving. John 15:1. We'll read this. Whoa, look at that. It's afternoon. Time goes by when you're getting corrected.
Yes.
I said that to be funny, and none of you laughed. Thank you. John 15:1, Jesus speaking. The words are read in my Bible. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the farmer, or the gardener. Again, the illustration that I was using, it fits. Every branch in me, that's us, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So notice you have to be planted in the house of God to bring forth fruit. And notice your leaf, which is the health-bearing aspect of the tree, isn't it? Show me a tree that can live 1 year without a leaf. Is there any? I don't know of any. I mean, they can lose their leaves for the fall, but they can't lose their leaves forever. Remember your 10th grade biology? Photosynthesis, the leaves are gathering the light and all that stuff and provides, you know, life for the tree, okay? You know, if your leaf withers, there'll be no fruit, the tree will die, the branch dies, tree dies. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. What does that mean? Honestly, I'm not going to render a thought on it. All I know is that sure can't be good. Fruitless Christians. You say, well, he's not talking about believers. Go down to verse 5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. You are the branches. Jesus is the vine. Yeah. Notice a branch can only flourish if it's connected.
That's right.
Branch, apart from the vine, dies and withers and produces no fruit. And any branch that produces no fruit, he takes away. So verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, or you could say it this way, he that's planted in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Notice, you got to abide, you got to be planted, you got to be connected. For without me, you can do nothing. You heard me quote this verse a lot around here. Arguably, my favorite verse in the whole Bible is John 15:5. Now, up to verse 2. So you know it's talking about us.
Yes,
it's not talking about unbelievers.
Right.
Yeah. It's not talking about non-Christians. They were never a branch in the first place until they got saved. This is talking to believers. People that might be flourishing, people that might not be. People that might be trees, people that might be tumbleweeds. He says, every branch in me, every believer in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Yeah, it's silent here. The holy hush, right? The sound of God dealing with men's hearts. Because that is in a righteous way, a terrifying statement.
Right.
And we can't pretend like it's not in there.
Right.
You can't just take some of his words
right.
And then not these ones. He says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, or literally prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Those that are planted, they produce fruit. And then they get pruned, and they produce more, and they produce more. See, God isn't just going to grow one harvest in your life. He wants to grow many harvests in your life. But the branch that bears no fruit, he takes away. It's gone. I don't know. I mean, I could start, believe me, I can pull things out of the scripture and start rendering some ideas of what he's talking about there. All I know is it's not good. So when people are playing games with their local church and people are tumbleweeding around, they're in grave danger. Grave danger. People, what is going on? This just bouncing around. And I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to say it plain because I love you. There are people in this room that the very trials that are upon your back right now are for this very reason. And the only way out of it, there's no counseling I can give you that's going to take you out of it unless you're going to be planted in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you this, I won't counsel you if you're not. No man can turn a tumbleweed into a tree by just counseling them. You're going to have to be connected. Say, but Pastor, that takes time and responsibility and commitment. Yeah, well, I tell you what, that sure is a lot less than what God paid for you. Sure, a lot less than what Jesus paid and suffered for you. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to descend into hell. You don't have to bear the sins, the sickness, and the griefs and the sorrows of this life. You just have to be committed to a very simple concept. I mean, it's so easy. I don't understand people that don't have time for church. Say, well, you're saying that because you're a pastor. Well, I'm saying that because I know what the Bible says. And, and I'm saying that because I've seen, listen, many of you know my testimony. You know what I did and how I lived before I was planted in the house of God. All right? And now I know what this life can be and what it's continuing to become once you're planted in the house of God.
Amen.
Listen, life can be heaven on earth. Doesn't mean it's not tried and tested, but it's good.
Yes.
It's good.
Amen.
Say, well, that's because you've never gone through stuff. How do you know? Do you think you would never know? So many people have told me, Pastor, you've never gone through this. You've never gone through that. And I'm thinking the whole time, yes, I did. But because I didn't act and panic like you did. I didn't pace the floor. I'm not gonna pace the floor for you. I'm not going to wring my hands together. And because I never act panicked doesn't mean I didn't face it. Listen, I've been told the same stuff you've been told.
Oh, yeah.
I've gone through the same trial. The Bible says there is no trial but such as common to man. It's common to you. It's common to me. But what the trials don't make you unique. It's your response to them that makes them unique. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get something out of this?
Yeah.
See, this is how you hold on to what you received.
Yeah. Good.
Hallelujah. See, God in the beginning of the service, God said, I want to bless people. Now tell them how to hold on to my blessing. Tell them how to be planted. Tell them how to flourish.
Yes.
God is on your side. He's for you. He's not against you. If he's telling you how to do this, amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and glorify you. We thank you for what we've